You're listening to the All Day Ruckoff Podcast, episode number 88. Welcome to the All Day Ruckoff Podcast, episode number 88. This is your host, Brian, and I wanted to thank you so much for tuning in. The All Day Ruckoff Podcast focuses on the GRT and rucking community and includes interviews, motivation, and advice to keep you informed and get you ready for your next event. This is part 2 out of 3 with Kadri Dan, where we're talking about the Goruck Heavy. If you missed last week's episode, which was part 1, don't worry. You can take all of these in as individual slices. It's not like you had to have listened to that one to appreciate this one. But that episode was amazing, so I do recommend going back and listening to it at some point. And that was episode 87. In this interview with Kadri Dan, we talk about the Goruck Heavy vision and some of the changes that are being made to the event. It sounds like he put a ton of time and effort into this, and it was really fun to get to talk to him, to hear his side of it, and just hear about everything that's going on with the Heavy, including the changes that are happening to the PT test. Before we get into the interview, as always, I wanted to give some thanks to those who have taken a moment and left a review on either Apple Podcasts or on our Facebook page. This week, we've got a 5-star review left on Apple Podcasts. Thoroughly enjoy this podcast as well as everything that is All Day Ruckoff. This is my go-to resource for all things rucking. Keep up the excellent work and thank you for all that you do for the GRT community. Thank you so much for taking the time to leave that, MWorkman98. I really appreciate that. I'm so glad that you're enjoying this podcast. I'm so glad that you're enjoying all the other content that's being produced. That makes me really happy. So thank you again. As always, if you want to support the podcast, reviews on either Apple Podcasts or on our Facebook page are truly appreciated. You can search for All Day Ruckoff on either iTunes or on Facebook. We show right up. I read them all, obviously, and they're just awesome to receive. Good luck to everyone who's taking part in a Goruck event this weekend. And I wanted to quickly mention, when the interview finished with Kadri Dan, we were talking for a little bit after, and he said a couple things that I thought were really interesting. And so I pulled them out. So once this interview ends, I'm going to talk for just a second and preface a few points Kadri Dan makes about Goruck Heavy and selection. And then we're going to play that bit from the recording, and it's going to be the real end. So there's kind of a false finish on this interview. So listen through all the way to the end. Thank you so much for all of the support. Here's the interview with Kadri Dan. Today, I'm talking with Kadri Dan. He's back for the second part in this Goruck Heavy series. He's going to start off talking about the Goruck Heavy vision, which I'm really excited to hear about because honestly, I haven't heard it yet. And I can't wait to hear what he's got for it. So Dan, how are you doing today?
Doing awesome.
Thank you again for coming back, for taking the time. I'm really excited about this.
Oh yeah, I'm definitely excited to read this on the podcast because now it's like, it's pretty codified now, right?
Absolutely.
Like no more secrets.
I should let you explain it, but from my understanding, this is the new rewritten Goruck Heavy vision.
So currently right now I'm taking college classes at NC State, and you can just go through the classes and not really get a whole lot out of it. And it's kind of funny, like, you know, my college classes have driven the conceptualizing and codifying the Heavy SOP on paper, and doing this class and everything like that. I took a intro to leadership class, and absolutely one of the best classes I've ever had on leadership. I mean, I've been a leader since, well, I could argue that I'm a born leader, but I've actually been in a leadership position since 2002. And if you think you know everything and you think you're the smartest person in the room, you're failing. And the amount of stuff that I learned out of this class was great. So one of the things that I learned that I identified personally within myself as a weakness was vision, right? Having like a vision and being able to communicate that vision to your subordinates for execution. So I was able to conceptualize it in my coconut, But whenever it would come out on paper or if it came out of my mouth, it just wasn't just I just need some fine tune. I need some instruction on that. So anyway, so this class like broke down like what a vision is. So I took that and I took the 40 pages of the heavy SOP that we currently have, and I broke it all down into one page, and I stuck to one page. That was it. Like that was my goal, to have it, have this in one page, one format, so I could hand to any cadre and be like, here you go. Are you able to execute the Go Ruck Heavy? And so far, the feedback I've gotten from the some of the cadre that I punched this to, they're like, yep, sounds awesome. So I'm going to go ahead and start reading it. So this is the vision for the Go Ruck Heavy. So all great events start with a vision. It is outlined and executed by the cadre. This SOP is formatted to provide the cadre a starting vision with a far left and right limit for execution of the Go Ruck Heavy. Visions encompass five important areas: a picture, a change, values, a map, and a challenge. A picture. Go Ruck is a minimum 24-hour endurance event covering more than 40 miles that physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually pushes individuals past their perceived limitations. Go Ruck Toughs, 8K participants, should focus more on their teammates to their left and right than themselves. GRTs work together as a team to solve problems, overcome obstacles, and take care of one another, become a functional team in the ultimate team event. A change. The heavy is separate from the tough light. The biggest change is time, and cadre have a lot of it to take advantage of. Expounded lessons on leadership and teamwork, which every cadre has a different perspective of, will produce an event that is different from all the rest. Values. The Go Ruck mission statement: challenge excellence and do right by people. The Go Ruck Heavy is the ultimate team event. A map. All Go Ruck SOPs are in effect as to the administrative portion, service project, and special events. The first half of the Go Ruck Heavy should be the hardest 12 hours of training that a cadre has gone through. This weeds out the week that shouldn't be there. The rest of the event is for expounded leadership and team building, as the participants have proven they are entitled to your outstanding leadership, team building skills, and vignettes, lessons learned. The Robbie Miller WOD, or workout of the day, will replace the PT test. Cadre will execute a forced road march with no coupons for a minimum of 12 miles. GRTs will carry more coupons, ruck further and faster, get wetter, carry the biggest log, quit more, and walk away with a better understanding of themselves as individuals, capabilities, limitations as the leaders, and how they nest within the team. Minus the first half, second half principle, none of these are in any order. It can be done at the cadre's discretion. If your event looks, smells, acts like a tough, or even worse, a light, need to check your map, reshoot your azimuth, and get back on course. And finally, a challenge. The cadre have free run to run the best Go Ruck Heavy that they can execute. If GRTs are still talking about the Go Ruck Heavy and applying lessons they learned from the event into their everyday life that you ran as a cadre, then you are succeeding in accomplishing your challenge as a cadre for the Go Ruck Heavy. And that, big man, is a Go Ruck Heavy vision.
I like that it sets the left and the right, just like you mentioned, and there's a lot to it.
Oh yeah. You know, obviously I'm gonna break it down a little bit more and explain the different parts and whatnot. But again, I tried, like, it's hard to break a lot of information down into like snippets and cliff notes, especially for me, because I'm long-winded. I talk like I write. So these are challenges that I had associated with coming up with this heavy SOP and with this vision. And man, I'll tell you, man, like, headquarters hit me up about this a couple months ago, and it took me like 2 months to think about this. Like, I didn't like, oh yeah, no problem, and just sit down and, like, you know, just bang it out. I thought about it. I really put a lot of mental bandwidth into this to get this down into, you know, a one pager. And I'm pretty sure I encapsulated everything that absolutely needs to be into a heavy in one page, which, I mean, I'm covering 24 hours in one page. It was a challenge in itself for me to do this.
Yeah, I can only imagine. And just listening to it, every single sentence has purpose and has its own reason for being there. There's no fluff in that heavy vision.
No, there's no fluff, bro. There's a lot of fluff in the 40 page, the last one I wrote. And again, I talked about this. I had to go into that much detail. And you know, we beat to death. Why the, but this, I mean, the events on solid ground, I'm pretty sure this upcoming heavy, the Joe Warner Bragg heavy this next week, that's the 297th heavy. And I told you how much I suck at remembering class numbers and everything like that. I looked it up before we started. So,
so starting, I guess, right off the bat, the PT test that everyone's familiar with, the push-ups, the sit-ups, and the 12-miler, that's being replaced with the Robbie Miller WOD.
The push-ups and sit-ups is being replaced with the Robbie Miller WOD. There still is a 12-miler. That will never go away.
So can I get the details for the listeners on the Robbie Miller WOD?
Oh, yeah, I'll absolutely go into that. So I got a whole separate page on the Robbie Miller WOD. The Robbie Miller WOD explained. The Robbie Miller WOD debuted at the first annual Robbie Miller Heavy in Orlando 2018. The WOD was designed by the members of ODA 3312 and Cadre Carl. The numbers of sets, reps, and rounds correspond with ODA 3312. Robbie was a former gymnast who would not have done a workout in which form and technique give way to volume and high repetition count. The intent for this workout then is a combination of getting after it for time, but also strict adherence to form and proper execution of the exercise for all repetitions. The Robbie Miller WOD has two versions. There's a full and a half. Which version the cadre utilized during the heavy is at their discretion. So the full version. The full version takes anywhere between 2 to 3 hours. I mean, you could really you can get it down to 2 hours, but that's for like the super elite physically fit people, which I am not. So you start off with a 3 mile road march, and then you do 12 rounds of 6 reps of ring pull ups, burpee squats, 4 count mountain climbers, and then rucksack get ups, and then you finish out with a 3 mile road march. So that's the full version. The half version, roughly about an hour and a half, you do 12 rounds and you do a shuttle run, 33 feet one way, 6 ring pull-ups, 6 burpee squats, 6 4-count mountain climbers, and then 6 rucksack get-ups. So for each exercise, right, you got the ring pull-ups, right? They're obviously preferred. However, like, you know, when you have a big class, like we're not gonna have like 30 sets of rings. You know, ideally we would do this in like a CrossFit gym where they got rings. So ring pull-ups are preferred. However, regular pull-ups work just as well. The burpee squats, all that is just a regular burpee with an extra squat after the completion of the burpee. The mountain climbers, you're just in a plank position. You're alternating your knees to your chest, and it's a 4-count exercise. The rucksack get-ups, you either put the ruck on or put the ruck to the front. You lay down fully on the ground and stand back up and then get back down, and that's 1 rep. Shuttle run is 33 feet from start to finish, 6 trips or 3 round trips. And then the road march, you can either release or as a team, it's just cadre dependent. And there's a lot of variables into that. So that is the Robbie Miller WOD. So then you're probably wondering, well, who's Robbie Miller? So Robbie Miller was a Medal of Honor recipient, and he's from ODA 3312 Alpha Company, 3rd Battalion, 3rd Special Forces Group. So 3rd Special Forces Group is a group I'm in, and I'm also in 3rd Battalion. So he was a Medal of Honor recipient, and he was posthumously awarded the award back, I think, in 2010 or 2009. I can't remember, 2009 or 2010, but he was killed in action in 2008, in the beginning of 2008. Basically, to just kind of break down what Robbie did, Robbie's team was ambushed on one of the missions they were on. Robbie took the fight to the enemy, and he had a squad automatic weapon, which is a 5.56 link machine gun. He charged the enemy and was maneuvering with his Afghan partners. He ended up saving a bunch of dudes because he took the fight to the enemy, and he ended up getting shot and then passing away there on the battlefield. And I mean, that's like the that's not even the Cliff Notes version of what Robbie did. And there's plenty of write-ups and whatnot about Robbie and everything he did. And then, you know, obviously, you know, Robbie is a revered Green Beret in our community, and not just because he was a Medal of Honor recipient, but because even before that battle and everything like that, he really captured everything it meant to be a Green Beret. He was very culturally astute. He really took it to heart working with the Afghans and learning their culture and learning their language. He was always trying to better himself. He was always trying to be the best that he could be at everything that he did. And he really left a mark on his teammates and, you know, all of us guys in third group. This is a guy that we all look up to and want to be. And this is our way to, you know, forever memorialize a Green Beret that stood for everything that we stand for. So instead of the PT test, which I'll explain why, we inserted the Robbie Miller WAD as like the beginning administrative portion for all the Go Ruck heavies from hence this day forth until we either have another different WAD or something like that. But it's just an update to the Go Ruck heavy.
And this is the second year that Go Ruck has run a custom event based on Robbie Miller. Is that correct?
So it's not a custom event. It's like, no kidding. It's the first heavy of the year. I think it was a couple years ago. And I'm going to go into a little bit of historics, and not just on the Robbie Miller WAD, but the Robbie Miller heavy as well. Jason hit me up a couple years ago, and it was twofold. He was like, "Hey man, we need to do a heavy in memoriam of Robbie Miller. I mean, he's a Medal of Honor recipient, Dan. We should be doing something, you know, to, you know, memorialize him." And I was like, yeah, absolutely. I was like, well, it's got to be a heavy. Like, it just has to be. He's like, yeah. And he's like, we need like a WAD. We need like a Robbie Miller, like, you know, like a WAD. And I was like, yeah, we do. So I think it was in 2016. We threw it on the schedule, and then like a bunch of other stuff happened. It's just inevitable. And there wasn't a whole lot of emphasis placed on it. And we're getting kind of, I think we're about 90 days out from execution of it. And I hit headquarters up. I'm like, look, man. I'm like, the first time we do this event, it's got to be we got to put some emphasis on this. It's got to be big. I'm not saying we have to have like 100 people there or anything like that. We just have to put a little it just needs a little bit more love. I was like, let's take it off the schedule. Let's put it on next year. I was like, I'll have something big for this. And headquarters is like, okay, yeah, you know, it sounds like a good idea. So you know, talked to Big Daddy, and he was like, yeah, I like that. Let's do that. So we took it off the schedule, and so it was going to be on the schedule for January 2017. So we just pushed it a year to 2018, right? So middle of 2017, I was like, man, it's been a while since I've done a Go Ruck event, and surprised nobody's called me out. So in order to, you know, validate who you are, you need to do something that sucks. I couldn't think anything better than actually doing the very first Robbie Miller heavy. Because like we talked about in the last podcast, I codified this SOP and everything like that. And ideally I would have tested it out and then be like, okay, this is good, but just didn't have the chance. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to do a heavy. So I hit up Carl, and Carl's also a third group guy. And I was like, hey bro, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to do the Robbie Miller heavy. You're going to be the lead cadre. And then on top of that, I need you to come up with the Robbie Miller WAD. And then what we'll do is, before the event, we'll throw it in a couple vents and get some participant feedback on it, you know, whether it's a good WAD or not. And then the other thing, I was like, let's get with the team, the guys who are with Robbie, and bounce it off them, so that it's like it's a personal WAD. It's not just some rando dude just coming up with a WAD, you know what I mean? So that's what we did, man. So Carl hit up the guys from the team, Carl was a Green Beret before me. He knew some of the guys on the team. I know some of the guys on the team. They designed the WAD, and then Carl threw it at me, and I looked at it, and I was like, whoa, that looks like it sucks. I was like, I can't wait to test this thing out. So I think it was at one of the Moog Mile events in Raleigh, 2017. I tested the event on with the participants, and so I was training for the heavy because I was going to do the heavy, and tested it out. You know, I had a plate in my rock and everything, and we did the WOD, and I asked the participants, I was like, you know, the community, I was like, hey, what do you guys think? And they're like, oh man, that thing sucked. It was great. Blah, blah, blah. I was like, awesome. You know, I was like, what'd you guys think about the rounds, the reps? And we kind of toyed with the rounds and the reps, but the exercises pretty much stayed the same. And there was like another heavy I ran where we did it, but we never told anybody what it was. We were like, oh, it was just something we're coming up with, you know? And then like, there was a participant that did one of my events. And then the next event they did was with Carl, and they were like, wait, I've done this before. You know, it's pretty funny. And so we're real hush hush about it. I don't even think we pushed it out to any of the other cadger or anything. We just debuted it at the Robbie Miller, the first annual Robbie Miller Heavy, which I participated in as a participant. And from there on, man, it'll change your day. It's not on paper. It looks easy, but then when you actually execute, you're like, you know, if you push yourself, it's a great way to memorialize Robbie. It's real personal, you know, with him, teammates designed it and whatnot. So works out great.
Yeah, it makes a ton of sense why you would choose this WOD for the heavy. I mean, there's a lot behind it, both in how it came about and what everything in it memorializes.
Absolutely. And like the first heavy of the year is the Robbie Miller. It's the Robbie Miller heavy. Unless we throw it. I mean, Robbie Miller passed away at the end of January. I can't remember the exact date off the top of my head. I want to say the 28th. So we do the Robbie Miller heavy. We do it in Orlando because that's where Robbie's at. That's where he's buried. His parents are down there. So it's always going to be in Orlando. And who knows, maybe next year because he spent his family moved around a lot. So who knows, we might go up to Chicago because he spent some time up there. We might do like the same weekend, like the Robbie Miller heavy up there or something. Like we're going to expound on the Robbie Miller heavy a little bit more. That might be in this year, or not this year, obviously, but like next year, maybe the year after. But I mean, that's just generally the intent. And you can see with the, you know, with the events this year, how they're pretty heavily themed. That's kind of where, you know, we kind of are driving towards that, to have like themed events and everything like that. So that'll be coming up. But regardless, man, like this is a good way to start off every heavy year with the same Robbie Miller WOD that starts off the Robbie Miller heavy, and then all the heavies from henceforth are going to have this, and it's going to replace just doing push-ups and sit-ups or whatever other crazy PT test the cadre wanted to do at that time. So it just kind of brings it all together.
Absolutely. And if it's okay, I've got another question about the PT test.
Yeah.
So if someone's listening to this and pull-ups aren't their strong point, because everything else that's in that PT test, you can, I mean, it's going to smoke you, but you can work through it. But if pull-ups are something you really struggle with, should your goal be to hit pull-ups hard in training and make sure you can do them? Or is there going to be, I don't want to say like a cop-out for people who can't do pull-ups, but what's going to happen if someone shows up and they're doing ring pull-ups and they get like four total?
Well, this is the ultimate team event. So minus like, you know, some serious craziness, like you can't do any pull-ups whatsoever. You know, your buddy can help you, partner assisted. I remember one of them we had, I mean, these are a lot of pull-ups, man. It's not a little, it's what, 72 pull-ups? I mean, it's a lot.
Yeah, it's no laughing matter in pull-ups.
Yeah, that's not a lot of pull-ups. So, I mean, even when I do it, usually by the 12th, that's just straight line. But usually by round eight, round nine, I'm like doing like sets of two. You know what I mean? It's just like any other WOD, man. As long the cadre aren't gonna give a shit as long as you're trying. You know what I mean? Like there's like obviously like I'm not trying and I don't care. Like you know, just straight atrophy. You know, or you know. Like, hey, I'm not good at pull-ups. Not my strong suit. I got my buddy over here holding my legs. You know what I mean? The idea is, like, during this WOD, like, you're thinking about Robbie, and you're thinking about the event, and then obviously it's because the heavy's the ultimate team event. You're thinking about your buddy, which is the most important part. So, but if you can't do pull-ups, that's not a disclaimer that's not something that should stop you from coming to the event, because it's a WOD, man. You know what I mean? It's not a test. It's a workout that's structured, that has, you know, clear rounds, reps, miles, and the standard is to do the workout. So if you can't do any pull-ups, it's not like, you know, if I'm the cadre and I'm standing there and you're like, I can't do any pull-ups, I'm not going to be like, well, looks like your heavy day is over. It doesn't work like that. You know what I mean? Unless you like just quit, because there's a difference. You
absolutely
know? Like, I'm good at doing pull-ups, but I'm trying. Cool. Or like, I'm just not going to do pull-ups because I can't do them. Well, you can think about that in your car when you're driving home, you know, because now you're quitting on me. You're refusing to train. Does that make sense, the delineation between the two?
Absolutely. It's crystal clear to me. And I just wanted to get that out there in the event that there's someone listening. And I mean, 72 pull-ups is no joke. And so they're thinking, there's no way I can hit that. Time to, you know, message Gorok support and change this into an event credit. So.
No, I would absolutely show up. It's part of the event, man.
Yeah.
You know, like it's the event's 20, it's a minimum 24 hours long. This is like 3 hours. You still got 21 hours of awesomeness to go through, you know? So, not being able to, That probably not being able to do pulls probably about the least amount. Where I'd be more concerned with, like, can I carry my rucksack for 24 hours and cover 40 miles with this plate in it and all my food and water and be a contributing member to a team? That should be like foremost in your coconut. Not, oh man, 72 pull-ups, because you already quit on yourself if you can't do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, and like you said, that's just a. I mean, it's an incredibly important part of the event because of everything that there is surrounding it and the Robbie Miller WOD, but it is just a small section, like you said, 3 hours out of 24 plus. So the focus and the training should definitely be miles under feet and making sure you can do the 40 plus with your 30 plus.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And then, also you got the 12 miler, which... The 12 miler, like I talked about last time, is where I get folks. That's where that 75-80% people quit, either before the 12 miler, during, or like right after. I do know why, because it's a different mechanism within the machine of the Gorok heavy. And what I mean by that is, like, so it's a forced road march, which means you. There's no stopping. There's no breaks. You're consistently moving weight for 12 miles. You're constantly moving. So like your pace, your how you have your ruck packed, footwear, socks, clothes, chafing, all this stuff like magically appears during this 12 miler. It may appear during a tough or whatever. But it absolutely will appear during a 12 miler because you're constantly moving, and it gets in a lot of people's heads. They finish the 12 miler and they're smoked, and they're like, man, I still have to go. And they do math in their coconuts, right? And they're like, man, I still got to go, like, according to the website, I still got to go like 28 miles. And yeah, there's a lot of truth to that. And it gets into people's heads and they're like, man, I barely just got through this 12 miles, but now I got to do this another 28 miles. And it's like, they just like, nah, I'm good. I'm done. And then on top of that, you throw in this Robbie Miller WOD. You already did six. So it's, you know, like, man, I'm done. I'm tapping out. And it's designed that way. The event is designed for you to question why you're there. That's why the 12 miler is there, because as I, you know, outline in the vision, like that's to weed out the people that shouldn't even be there is the 12 miler. That's why the 12 miler will never go away. Cause that separates who really wants to be there from, you know, who shouldn't probably be there and just needs more training mentally and physically.
Yeah, there's something about that number too. When I was doing my Star Course training, I did a lot of rucks that were 12 plus miles. And as soon as you started hitting double digits, things started changing.
Yes.
And you really only know about it if you ruck those distances.
Yeah.
Yeah. If people are signing up and going to the event and they've never rucked 12 before, then I can definitely see how that would be a big shock, the way they're feeling when that's done.
Oh, it's a shock, bro. I've been doing 12 milers for 20 years now. And I'll tell you right now, like even myself, I will absolutely not just go through on a ruck and just walk 12 miles without prior training to get myself to like a disclaimer. Can I walk 12 miles right now? Well, not right now, right this second, because I'm nursing a broken foot. But, you know, when I'm not nursing a broken foot, could I walk 12 miles? Yes, absolutely. I've done it so many times. But my training has helped me get there. Like, this wasn't the first time I ever did it. So if I had to, like, you know, throw like a training plan, like, hey, how do you tackle a 12 miler, you know? It's just like anything else. You start low distance or short distance, low weight, and then you just work yourself up until you can crush a 12 miler based off the 12 miler standard, which is 3.5 hours. If you break that down, it's like a, what, 16 some change minute mile. If you can maintain a sub 15 minute mile for a 12 miler and do 12 miles and finish in under 3 hours, like you're good. Like, you're good to go. I always shoot when I do my own internal 12 miler to just make sure that I'm good to go. I always shoot to do 14 minute miles and I keep pace with myself. And once you ruck a bunch of times at that pace, like you just naturally will maintain that pace because you've done it so many times. It's muscle memory.
Yeah. Yeah. I noticed that a lot when I was training for the Star Course. And then the other thing that I always think about is when you're rucking by yourself or with your friends, like that's the least stressful time that you're going to be rucking. You know, you've got nothing going on except that you're just out there putting miles under feet. So if you can figure out what your pace is and what a good pace is there, then when you get to the event and, you know, you might have done the Robbie Miller wad before, so you're kind of smoked and now you're going out on the 12. And if you're used to doing that 14 pace, then, I mean, you might be pushing 15 or 15 and a half just because of how you're feeling, but you've built in that buffer.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, I mean, obviously, like right now, if you went on the website, the Rod Miller wad's not on there, right? It will be. And when it's on there, it's outlined. It's going to be outlined. Like, hey, this is what you're going to do. You're going to do the Rod Miller wad, and you're going to do a 12 hour. And just like anything else, man, it's like, okay, here's the standards. Here's what I got to do for this event. So that's my baseline standard. So what I would do, and this is what I did when I prepared for a heavy as a participant, was I banged out the Robin Miller wad. I waited like 30 minutes, drink some water, had some food. And then I went right into a 12 hour and I banged out the 12 hour and I was like, well, I feel pretty good. I still got some. Definitely still got some gas in the tank ready to go, you know? Now, if you do that and you struggle through the Robbie Miller wad, and when I mean struggle, I mean like you're like 3+ hours in the Robbie Miller wad, like 3.5 hours, and then you go to do the 12 mile and you make 6 miles, you're not ready. The will to survive will always get you through. There's this famous quote I'm trying to think, like the will to survive will always replace the skill to survive, I think is the quote, right? And that's absolutely applicable. But like, I mean, let's be realistic, man. If you've never rucked in your life and never done a burpee, like you're probably setting yourself up for failure just showing up to a heavy. But I mean, who knows? You might be able to make it, you know. Crazier things have happened, you know, but I would absolutely train for it.
Yeah, that's great advice. Crazier things have happened, but you don't want to count your stars on being one of them.
Yeah, man. Like don't, you know. There, you know, the exception, not the rule. That phrase doesn't necessarily may not necessarily apply to this.
So we've gone through the changes that have been made to the PT test. The 12 miler is still in there.
Yep.
I mean, the GORAK heavy events, your baby. What do you want to talk about next?
I can definitely hit the little bit, you know, on the hit each specific point of the vision.
Let's do it.
Just kind of further explain. So the pitcher, right? The pitcher of the GORAK heavy, right? So the idea, man, is like it's the ultimate team event. So folks need to work together to finish. It's not an individual event. If working with other people is not your forte and you just don't like people, I probably wouldn't do the GORAK heavy, because you absolutely have to lean on your buddy to your left and your right to be successful at the GORAK heavy. You have to at some point, right? You can't carry the biggest sandbag. You can't carry a log by yourself. You can't stay in the water the longest. You can't not eat. Or if you run out of food, just be like, oh, well, not talk to your buddy. Like, this is a team event. This is all part of the event. It's not it. If you want individual, man, go to GORAK selection. It's on you. What I did want to like kind of hit was like the personal responsibility part of it, right? So you absolutely, as a participant, are responsible for yourself to make sure that you're trained and ready to go to be a part of the team. You have to. There's absolutely personal responsibility. Just because you show up to the GORAK heavy, just because you stand there after I call your name, it doesn't mean you're entitled to a patch. What you're entitled to is a well thought out, thorough event where your safety is number one and that you're going to get what you paid for. That's what you're entitled for, but you're not entitled to that patch. You have the personal responsibility yourself to make sure that you are part of a team, that you're providing something to the team. Now, what you provide to that team is different for each person, right? So some people, man, they're just like, they're smart rangers, right? So we have a phrase, you're a smart ranger or a strong ranger. So some folks are smart rangers, man. They physically, they're not the strongest, they're not the fastest, but man, they're smart. Those are the people where, like, you know, us cadre, we throw a problem set at the team, and they're the ones that, like, you know, the thinkers. They think through and they come up with solutions, and then we execute, right? And then there's the strong rangers. Strong rangers aren't really necessarily that smart. Strong ranger is like, you want me to do what? They're like cavemen. You want me to do what? You want me to move the sandbag 20 miles? Got it. And they just pick up a sandbag and they can go and they can do that. So smart ranger, strong ranger. But you have to be one of those. But you also have to be physically trained to do these events. This is a 24-hour endurance event. You can't just show up with no training. There have been a few people that have done that, but that is absolutely the exception. The extreme exception and not the norm. And then, you know, the change. There are things, and I talked about this the last podcast, where, you know, there are things that we do in the tough and that we do in the light that you also see in the heavy, right? But they're separate. They're separate because the biggest change is time. Like, we have all the time in the world. That's why, like, other than, you know, the GORAK heavy being my baby, it is absolutely my favorite event. It's like I got nothing but time. I don't feel rushed. You know, when we do the lights and the toughs, it's like, hey, how you doing? I'm Cadre Dan. Here's the freaking admin roster. All right, John, Bill, Kate, good. All right, cool. Here's the rules, traffic, yada, yada, yada. All right, let's go. We're going to pick this up. Hey, you're the team leader. You're the navigator. You know, let's go, let's go, let's go. You know, the heavy, I'm like, all right, here's the Robbie Miller wad. Cool, done with that. All right, guys, here's a 12-miler. Cool, we're done with that. All right, guys. Let's do this. All right, cool. All right, yep. All right, man. Let's sit down and talk this through. Let's talk about the leadership aspect of this last movement. Let's talk about how you guys work together as a team. Is there better ways to do that? There's just more time. There's more time to hit things. There's more time to go into detail. There's more time to teach about leadership. There's more time to teach how to be a better team player. There's just just time, man. That's the biggest change. And it's great because, you know, if I want to, you know, when I play in the class and I'm like, oh man, you know what, I'm going to take an extra half hour and talk about this time I was in Afghanistan where I made some, you know, either good decisions, bad decisions or whatever, you know, the toughs, I do that during the toughs too, but like, you're pretty rushed. 12 hours goes by pretty fast. You know what I mean? 24 hours is a long time. And that's one of the biggest changes between the tough and the light. That's the change. The change is time. And then, you know, the values. I mean, Gorok's lived and died by this mission statement: challenge excellence and do right by people. I mean, Jason, like, I think the story is he was sitting on an airplane when he was conceptualizing Gorok and what he thought. And at that time, you know, he just wanted to do, gear. And he wrote a mission statement on a napkin while he was on an airplane flying somewhere. And it stuck with him ever since. And it stuck with me ever since because it's a simple mission statement: challenge excellence and do right by people. It's pretty simple, simplistic, and it absolutely flows in with everything we do at Gorok, and it absolutely flows in with the Gorok Heavy, because the Gorok Heavy is the ultimate team event. So the map. So this is where I'm going to go in a little bit more detail and everything. So the first half of the Gorok Heavy should be the hardest 12 hours of training that cadre has gone through, right? So you got the WOD. You got the 12. So if a cadre decided, because again, it's at the cadre's discretion, to do the WOD and then do the 12 mile, right? That's like, you're looking at five, 6 hours right there easily. Okay. And then, you know, the next 6 hours, you should just build off of that ass kicking you just got doing the WOD and the 12 mile. And it should be hard. So the first half of the heavy should be just rough. It should be like a challenge on crack is the way I think about it. Like, at the end of the 12 hours, man, you should be like, if you wanted to think about like any toughs that you had done in the prior, be like, that was the hardest tough I've ever done in my life. That's the idea behind the first 12 hours of the heavy. And then the last 12 hours, man, the way I look at it, this is the way I personally look at it, right? So I've already spent 12 hours with these guys and I've invested time. So like now, man, like I want everybody, after we hit that halfway mark, man, now I want everybody to finish. You know what I mean? I don't want people to quit on me at our, you know, or at the very end, or not at the very end, but like, you know, after the 12 hour mark, because I've invested a lot of time in these guys already, building them into a team. So that doesn't mean I'm taking my foot off the gas or anything like that, but like, I'm going to expound a little bit on the, you know, some team building skills, some leadership, some lessons that I, you know, personally learned, or maybe something I gleaned off of reading, you know, some books or some leadership classes or whatever. I'm gonna take a little bit more time to go into that, the last half of the event, to kind of bring everything together. So at the end of the event, you walk away with something, because, you know, that's super important to me. And it's absolutely important to the cadre as well. That when you walk away from the event, there's at least a key takeaway, something you learned about yourself, or maybe something you learned about your buddy or whatever. But something that, like, a key takeaway that when you think of that Gorok Heavy and what you went through and how then to further use that in your everyday life. And that's absolutely important. And it's just like the heavies, man, with the time concept, you know, you're going to carry more stuff. You're going to go further. You're going to go faster. You're going to get absolutely saturated wet. You're going to carry the biggest log that I can absolutely find. You know, I'm going to inherit with a 24-hour event, more people are going to quit. It's just the nature of the beast. But again, walking away with a better understanding of themselves, that's super important. And I want to make sure that with the cadre, that we all understand that, like, this is not a 24-hour tough. This is not a 24-hour light. This is a heavy. It's very different. Time and more expounded leadership, more expounded teamwork. It's the ultimate team event. We want teams to gel together and work well with each other, and then, you know, have a key takeaway from the rest of the event. And that's the challenge of the cadre, to run the best heavy that they can execute. And I always, I know, it, regardless whether it's a heavy, a tough, a light, or anything like that, I always strive to run the best event that I possibly can. I could probably sit here, I can – I can absolutely tell you which events where that I, you know, I was like, after the event, I was like, oh man, I should have did this. I should have done that. I beat myself up enough on every event on where I could have done, done better. And you know, so I absolutely focus on that, but it helps me and it builds me to be a better cadre for further and future events. So that's like the expounded vision on the Go Ruck Heavy vision in not so many words.
Man, that sounds awesome.
Oh, it is.
I mean, you put just a ton of thought and effort into this, and I'm really excited to see how the community reacts to it and how, you know, how these events go. So I don't know if it's time for this question or not, but at some point I want to ask you, have you run a heavy yet that has used the new heavy vision?
Oh yeah. I did the Robbie Miller, second annual Robbie Miller heavy. I went line by line on this heavy vision. And then on top of that, I read the heavy vision to the class. So after we got done with the WAD, I read the vision and I was like, I want you to think about this because like, I'm just like, you guys are going to hold me accountable. Did I run the event in accordance with the vision that I just read out to you? And the feedback I got was like, yes, absolutely. And to be honest with you, man, like the only thing that really was updated or changed was we took the PT test out and we inserted the Robbie Miller WAD. The actual running, all the other mechanisms in the Go Ruck Heavy are all the same. You know, it's just, we're just updating it a little bit by adding the Robbie Miller WAD. And I think the community is going to embrace it. You know what I mean? I think everybody's going to love it. I mean, the Robbie Miller Heavy that I ran, I mean, everybody loved it. They thought the WAD was pretty challenging and everything. And, you know, and then when I threw the 12-mile at them, you know, I inherently had some people that decided, you know, it just ain't my day. That's okay because they know where they're at, and I'm sure I'll see them again in another event. And it's all positive and all good.
And what a perfect event to debut this at.
Oh, yeah. And the upcoming Joe Warner Bragg Heavy, like I'm gonna read the vision off again to him. We're gonna do the Robbie Miller WAD. There's a whole other host of awesomeness we're gonna do during that event that I'm sure we'll talk about for the next episode and whatnot.
Yeah, absolutely. So the participants for that heavy, the Robbie Miller heavy number 2, where this was introduced, you came out, you read the new heavy vision. Were they all shocked that they were going to be part of this? Or was there some small amount of knowledge in advance that this was going to be something new?
No, I honestly, I didn't put it out there that I was going to read it. I mean, I printed it off and it was part of my heavy plan to read the vision out to the class and everything like that. When I read the vision, I was like reading the vision and looking at people's faces to see if they were like kind of like capturing what I was saying. And they absolutely did. The folks who were there, they absolutely did. Cause just like I just did, I read the whole vision and then I went back and I hit a couple key points, not as much as on this podcast, but I hit a couple of the key points and everything. And, you know, it was funny. Cause like, when I talked about the 12-miler, and I was like, this weeds out the week that shouldn't be there. And I stopped and looked around at everybody, and it was kind of like, you know, some of the folks are like looking left and right. And it was like, is he talking about me? It was funny. It was more of a like, you had to be there kind of moment and whatnot. But, I told him, like, look, you're going to ruck further and faster. You're going to get wetter. You're going to carry a bigger log. There's going to be more people that are going to quit. You're going to carry a lot of coupons. And a lot of you guys have done multiple heavies, and it's probably not going to be that big of a change, not that like a huge culture shock, but it is what it is. And it was good.
And for that event, did you post anything on Facebook or in the Tough group about the changes, anything related to the heavy?
Yes, I did. So I did like a 5-minute like Facebook Live video of the folks doing the Robbie Miller wad, and there was, the intent behind it was threefold. Number one, Robbie Miller heavy. Like, hey, this is the Robbie Miller heavy. I wanted to get the word out there about this specific heavy. Number two, I wanted to talk about the Robbie Miller wad, which I did. I didn't read the annex or whatever that I read off to you or whatnot. What I just read off like, hey, this is what the Robbie Miller wad is, and from this day forward, this replaces the PT test. So the Facebook Live video predated the website changing and predates this podcast. So it's like a progression. You know what I mean? Because it's going to take a while for the word to get out there. And then the third intent was that, you know, with having the Robbie Miller heavy, like the start point was 1.5 miles from where Robbie was buried. So the folks started at the start point and they rucked 1.5 miles and saw Robbie at his grave, rucked 1.5 miles back to the start point, did the actual wad, the exercises, rucked 1.5 miles out to Robbie, and then came back and finished the wad. Like, I couldn't have found a better start point than the start point that I found. You know what I mean? The significance of doing the Robbie Miller wad at the Robbie Miller heavy and then incorporating going to see Robbie, which to me was huge. And I wanted to get that and capture that on video and throw it on the Tough page.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You couldn't have found a better place to run that. No kidding. Just what a phenomenal way to bring in the Robbie Miller wad like that.
Yeah.
And so I asked that question because on the weekend that happened, a number of Facebook groups I'm in and Facebook chat groups and all that stuff, people were talking about it, and they were talking about potential upcoming changes to the heavy. And that's actually what led me to reach out, or
yeah,
maybe Luke reached out to me, and that's what sparked that conversation there.
No, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that's the genesis of why we're here right now, 100%. So, and I mean, like, we, like, you know, headquarters is tracking, and, you know, I wanted to throw out the information as fast as I could out to the folks to, you know, start, you know, getting ready for this for the heavy. Cause I don't want people to show up unprepared. You know, I want to be able to provide them enough information to be ready. I mean, there is a certain factor of the unknown during any go ruck event. You know, like, well, I'm not going to lay out my entire plan and be like, hey, this is the plan that we're going to do for the go ruck heavy. And then, you know, months out, and then I want you to train for it. There's a mystique, an unknown to the go ruck events. But again, the difference, one of the differences between a heavy, a tough, a light is the predictability of having the wad and a 12 mile. That's two things that you absolutely know are going to be in the heavy that you absolutely have to execute among all the other stuff that the cadre throws at everybody. So it's good.
Oh yeah. And that's one of the reasons why we keep coming back to events time and time again. It's kind of that mystique behind them, the differences between the events. I mean, there's still the left bound and the right bound, like what you mentioned at the beginning. You know, we're not going to show up to an event and then it turns out we're like playing volleyball for 30 hours or something. It's not going to, you know, we've got the bounds in place so that something like that wouldn't happen. But all the events are different. All the cadre who run events bring their own special twist to them, and they're still able to do that. But it's just exciting to see, you know, those updates.
Yeah. With that very far left and right limit, I mean, who knows? Like, you may show up at the heavy, the cadre might, like, you know, do the admin brief and issue you guys a bunch of coupons, and you guys might just take off, and you're like, I thought we were doing the Robbie Miller one and then the 12 miler. And then next thing you know, you're like 18 hours into it. And the cadre is like, all right, we're going to do the Robbie Miller one. You're like, oh God. Like, cause then I know what's after that, you know, like, oh God. Like I did the Atlanta class, you know, where I did the 12 miler at the very end. Heck, I did that. I did a custom heavy up in Michigan. And we did it at, it was right around Halloween weekend. And oddly enough, the state park that we got permission for to do the event was called Sleepy Hollow State Park. And the folks up in Michigan are phenomenal. Great, great community up there. And we went up there and did a custom heavy. I actually did this. That was one of the classes that I beta tested this Robbie Miller Wad on. And but yeah, that was another class I did the 12 miler at the very end, the very, very end. And that worked out pretty good.
There's no escaping it. You know, cadre aren't dumb. They haven't forgot about it. If you haven't done it yet, it just means it's coming at a later point.
Yeah, it's like, I know this is coming. I kind of just want to put this out of my mind, but I know it's coming, you know?
Yep. It just takes me back to that class that you mentioned that thought they might early index and they hadn't done the 12 yet. It's like, oh no. Cadre Dan did not forget about it. This is all planned out pretty perfectly.
The great thing is like, I mean, 12 miles is a minimum. Like I ran a heavy in Pittsburgh and we absolutely did 14, 15 miles. And we did that. That was we did push-ups, sit-ups and right into like a 14, 15 mile or force march. And we did it together as a team. I walked the whole thing with the class. That was fun. So, I mean, who knows? It might be 15. It might be 18. But it's going to be a forced road march of some sort for some distance. And it's going to be either the beginning, middle, or end of the event. So, there you go.
There you go.
Mystique of the event. It's going to happen at some point.
Greater than or equal to 12 miles at the start, middle, and sometime during the event, it will happen.
I'll save that for the next next episode, because that goes into brag heavy lane. I'll talk about that. Remind me about that, about the 12 mile at brag heavy number 2 version 2.0, because that was a pretty funny story. But yeah, the 12 mile, man, you gotta train for it. You absolutely have to train for it. I would highly, highly, highly recommend I would absolutely recommend doing a 12 mile before the event, just to have one in your under your belt before you even show up to do the heavy. And I'd even almost recommend doing an 18 mile, because I've done an 18 mile and that'll definitely change your day too. But like, you know, if you can walk 18, you can absolutely walk 12, which is a simple principle. But that doesn't go to say that, like, if you do a 12 miler, then you're absolutely guaranteed to finish the event. No, there's more to the event other than just a 12 miler and a Robbie Miller Wad. There's a lot into the, you know, which I covered in the vision, that goes into the heavy about being a good team player and everything like that. And, you know, when you're training for this event, you should conceptualize yourself thriving during a go ruck heavy. Like you shouldn't train to just survive. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Cause when I did the first Robbie Miller heavy, and I did it as a participant, right? So the way I looked at it, man, was like, and I know this is real cheesy, but like you've seen the movie Gladiator, right?
Yes.
All right. So, you know, when Commodus, when he gets into the arena, right, and he's fighting Maximus knocks out Commodus's sword, and Commodus, he looks to the Praetorian guard and he's like, guard, sword, right? And the head guard tells his guards to, like, you know, sheath his sword and not to give it up. And the reason behind that was because once Commodus entered the arena as a gladiator, he became a gladiator and not an emperor. Okay, so how does that translate to Cadre Dan, right? So the way I looked at it, man, like I was putting my entire go ruck heavy, go ruck existence on the line to do this event. So if I'm going to do that, then I can absolutely not just show up as a participant and do a heavy and just survive and just be like barely making it across the quote unquote finish line at the very end. Like I had to thrive. I had to carry all the coupons that I absolutely could. I had to be the best team player that I absolutely could. I had to have a lot of gas in the tank for the heavies. And that drove my training plan to get ready for this heavy. Because I was throwing everything on the line, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn and everything like that. I'm trying to use this as a vignette for somebody to, when they're conceptualizing how to train for a heavy, like you have to thrive during this event. That is absolutely how you are the best version of yourself and the best teammate, is when you are the person that you can absolutely be counted on to help your buddies out by, you know, carrying that sandbag a little bit longer, or you're not the one that's completely smoked and you can think through a problem set and come up with a solution or a better way of doing something instead of just like staring at the ground and just, you know, feeling sorry for yourself carrying your own ruck. I wanted to make sure that I was the guy that was constantly like moving around and helping people out and carrying coupons and pushing shopping carts or wearing shopping carts, whatever, instead of the guy that was just staring at the ground, like left foot, right foot. Because if I was one of my teammates during the Robbie Miller heavy and I didn't thrive during that event, I would have been like, so this guy designs this event that he can't even make it himself. He can't even achieve the standard. He can't even put his money where his mouth is. So why the hell am I going to come to it? Does that make sense? What I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah, man, it was great. I'm absolutely glad I got to experience that, because I will tell you that I went through all the emotions that any normal person would have gone through with respect to training up for that event, executing that event, and then obviously finishing that heavy and getting handed my patch from Kadri Carl, which was great. And CT, they both, Kadri CT and Carl did a phenomenal job with that first heavy. And I was only too happy for them to index it. And I kept joking with the with my teammates during that. I was like, man, I can't believe you guys signed up for this lunacy. I was like, man, whoever designed this, I want to punch that dude in the face.
That's too good. I had a great time talking to Kadri Carl about that event. So if you haven't listened to that episode yet, I can send it your way.
I'm gonna go back through and download it.
He did a really good job with that.
Yeah, man. Because whenever I told him about the Robbie Miller heavy, and I was like, hey, man, you're gonna be the elite cadre, and I got, you know, I'm the director of the Go Ruck Heavy. The Go Ruck Heavy's my baby. You know what I mean? So then it's really cool because I hit one of my peers, you know, a guy I look up to, a guy that Carl was on my team. You know what I mean? So this is like, you know, this is one of my like real life teammates, you know, and a good friend. And I was like, hey, bro, Lee Kadri for the Robbie Miller heavy, man, here are the two absolute requirements that I absolutely want you to do. And the first one, I was like, we have to go visit Robbie. I was like, we absolutely, during the event at some point, we have to visit Robbie. And I was like, the second thing, I was like, I don't want to know a damn thing about your plan. I want to go into this completely blind. Now, obviously the Robbie Miller wad, like I knew that was coming, you know what I mean? Like, and I had already done it a couple times. But that was to test out the wad for, you know, further execution throughout, you know, the Robbie Miller heavies, and then now obviously with all the future Go Ruck heavies. But and that was the two things I told him, man. We both stuck to it, man. I had no idea, other than the start point, I had no idea where we were going, what we were doing. I didn't know the plan. I didn't know anything throughout the entire event. And it was great. And again, I went through all the emotions that anybody else would have gone through, executing that event. So it was great. Great experience and a great team, great cadre. Got nothing but positive things to say about the entire experience.
That's what it sounds like. And you're a participant last year. You ran it this year. And yep, it sure sounds like it's going to be back again next year.
Oh, yeah, it'll absolutely be back next year. And, You know, I have a rule for events. Like I try not to go to the same places and, you know, all the time and, you know, and run the same events and everything like that. Like I have like a 2-year rule. Like if I run the 2-year rule doesn't apply to the Joe Warner Bragg Heavy. That's like it within the Go Ruck, you know, nest. I hate to claim ownership, but that event is like my baby. So I will, as long as I'm not deployed or not doing any training exercise, I will always be at the Joe Warner Bragg Heavy. And that's because I've been there for everyone. And I think this year is the 7th, 2013. So yes, this is the 6th or 7th version of this that we're running. But the Robbie Miller Heavy is also going to be the same way, man. Like I'm a third group guy. I love Robbie Miller. Everything he stands for, everything he did. He's a Medal of Honor recipient, and this is my way of making sure we never forget about Robbie. So as long as there ain't anything crazy coming up around that time frame in January, which is usually pretty light for my training for my real job, I'm always going to be at that Robbie Miller Heavy.
Then we might have to circle back again next year and have another conversation about it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It was great, man. It was good. Great team, great class this year. Good group of folks. And then doing the WOD, they had to run back and forth and see, we went back and forth to see Robbie. I think we went and saw Robbie 3 times cause we had Robbie's parents that met us after the WOD. They met us at the cemetery. So, and we had Robbie's team, one of Robbie's teammates that was there with Robbie when he passed away. So it's a great event to go to and really encapsulate everything that Robbie stood for and whatnot, and a great way to memorialize a true American hero, a Medal of Honor recipient, and a third Special Forces Group legend.
And that's what I heard from the first year of the event, that his parents were there and that it was just, I mean, Gorak put that phenomenal video together as well. You know, it sounds like that just a ton of effort was put into it. And it definitely showed.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Carl and CT really, they set the bar pretty high for me, man, for this year, you know? And again, man, like, you know, I have to keep coming up with new ideas and new ways to execute the heavy, I'm not going to run the same heavy for specific to Robbie Miller heavy. I'm not going to run the same thing every year. It's going to be different every year. I'm going to come up with new, different ways, new plan, new route, new everything. I don't want it to look, act, smell, feel like last year's, you know, because we definitely had folks that, they were there for the first one and they were there for the second one. And I hope they come for the third one. You know, and they're not going to come if it's the same stuff over and over and over again, you know?
Yeah. It sounded like there were a lot of repeat offenders, or at least a number of them this year. And I mean, I can imagine if you're in the area and heavies are your thing, and even if they're not your thing, and you only want to do one a year or something, that seems like a really special one to do for that year.
Oh yeah. If I had to, and I'm pretty biased on my opinion, obviously, but if I had to pick a heavy as like the heavy to do for the year, it would absolutely either the Robbie Miller heavy or the Joe Warner Bragg heavy would be those would be the two at the top of my list. And to be honest with you, that's just the first half of the year. The second half of the year, all the heavies are great, man. You know what I mean? But you know, if I had to like, you know, personally me, man, like the Joe Warner Bragg heavy and the Robbie Miller heavy are like, those are the my two favorite personal ones, you know? So, you know, I put a lot of work into any heavy that I do. And that holds true to both those events as well.
So speaking of more heavies coming throughout the year, obviously there's a lot on Gorak's calendar. It sounds like you've sent out the new Gorak heavy vision to a number of cadre. The last time you sent out a Gorak heavy doc, it was roughly, would you say, 40 pages long? This yeah. one quite a bit shorter. It's how is the response from the cadre when they got it.
So it hasn't been blasted out to the cadre as of right this minute.
Okay.
Some of the cadre are tracking it, but not all cadre are tracking it. It takes time for it to filter down to all the cadre. You know what I mean? So it hasn't reached all the cadre, but it's definitely reached more than a few cadre. Because I bounced this off. I bounced this vision off of some of the cadre that have been around for a minute. I bounced it off. I was like, hey, what do you guys think? And I hit Flash up. I was like, Flash, what do you think, man? Give me a can of feedback. And he's like, oh, this is great. You know, he made a. There's a couple questions he had. The questions was more like, what's the Robbie Miller WAD? And I was like, that's the other Word document in the email. Oh yeah. Okay, cool. And, he was like, sweet, man. Yeah. Everything looks great, man. You know? I called a couple cadre on the phone and, you know, outlined what I was going to do. And they're like, yeah, man, sounds great. You know, so, like good to go. So feedback's been so far from the select cadre been pretty good. But as far as the masses, like all 80 of them, you know, if I called a random cadre up right now and told him about this, he'd be like, nope, not tracking, but I'm tracking now. Cool. What do I got to do? Rob Miller WAD? Sweet. Done. What is it? Okay. Easy day. It's that simple, you know?
Perfect. And that makes just a ton of sense that you bounce it off cadre here and there, get their feedback, and especially with something that's, you know, such a big part of GORUCK, the GORUCK heavy event.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And like with, with the preponderance of my time, other than, you know, my other requirements in life, you know, wife, kids, work, in that order, cause that's an order of priority, wife, kids, work. Joe Warner Brack Heavy's coming up. So that has taken up, you know, a lot of my time on planning that down to the detail that I'm comfortable with. And, I got 8 cadre coming out for that. So I got to get them all up to speed. So like, I keep forgetting to blast this out to all the cadre and whatnot. I'll probably end up doing that like tomorrow or the next day.
It's exciting. And I can't wait to talk to you again and hear how that heavy goes.
Oh yeah. The Joe Warner Brack Heavy.
For sure.
Yeah, it's great event, man. Great time. And, you know, that whenever we link up and talk about that, you know, just like we did the first episode, man, I'll start with the history of the Brag Heavy, you know, where the actual idea of doing an event on Fort Bragg came from, and then how it evolved into the Joe Warner Brag Heavy. I'll go through every event where they've been, the highlights from those events, you know, and just go into detail about that specific event. It'll be good, man.
So I think we covered a lot with the GORUCK Heavy vision. I know I was throwing questions in here and there, so I might have possibly derailed your side of the conversation, but is there anything that we might have missed that you wanted to make sure was covered?
No, I think I'm good, because I one of the things I definitely wanted to hit on, I was thinking about it, was hitting personal responsibility, you know? Because I did the feedback that I got from some folks was like, you know, more emphasis on like making sure that you're ready for what we throw at you, cadre 2 participant, like the personal responsibility aspect, that like you have the personal responsibility to make sure that you're trained and ready to go for this event. You know, you can't just show up to the event and just carry your rucksack for 24 hours. Like you have to contribute as a member of a team. That's why this event is the ultimate team event. You know what I mean? It's not, I'm just going to show up and kind of talk to some dudes and carry the flag and for 24 hours. And then, you know, just kind of, you know, walk my way through the event. That's not the heavy, man. Like you can do that for a light, probably can definitely do that for the tough, but for the heavy, man, you just can't do that, man. There, you have to be ready for what we throw at you, and you have to train for the heavy. You have to.
So as I mentioned, when Kadri Dan and I finished the podcast episode, we were talking for a while afterwards, and I asked him a question about the heavy event because it's such a huge event. I know some people place it on a similar tier in their mind on if they can do it as something like GORUCK Selection, And then he countered with this, which I thought was really cool. And so I've got that clip in here now for you to listen to. There's some people I talk to about a Gorg heavy event, and they have it like on par with Selection. Like I'm talking about like some, you know, the worst event out there. And it's not that type of thing. It's not even close.
Honest to God, man, not even close. Not even like, I only yell at events so that I can make sure everybody hears me. You know what I mean? Like heavy, like Selection is just, we're just literally trying to get you to quit for 48 hours. Like you getting you to quit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Heavy is about building the team together. And like, I am trying to weed out people, but I'm not like really trying to get people to like quit. I'm not like, man, like we talked about the attrition rate, you know, I'm not like, yeah, man. Yep, I got 30 participants and I'm only handing out patches to 25. Figure it out. You know what I mean? Like, no, that's not, there's a difference between those events. They're very, very different. Like I would say like the heavy is like the good side of the force, you know, the, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you know, the Jedi Knights is like the Jedi Knight heavy. The heavy is like the Jedi Knights, and like, Selection is like the dark side, you know, like Darth Vader, the Emperor, Darth Maul, you know, that kind of shit. It is. That's about the best way I can explain.
Yeah.
I mean, two totally different, you know, they're the same because, you know, the Force, the good side, the dark side, you know, it's the same, but it's two totally different uses.
Thank you so much for listening to the All Day Ruck Off podcast. This has been episode number 88. I had a ton of fun talking with Kadri Dan about the changes that are being made to the Gorg Heavy event and how it just continues to evolve. I'm really thankful that he's taken so much time to talk to the community about this stuff. Next week is going to be the third part of this whole Gorg Heavy series with Kadri Dan, and we're going to be talking quite a bit about the Brag Heavy. If you want to catch the show notes, which has links to pretty much everything we talked about in this interview, you can head on over to alldayruckoff.com/podcast/episode-088. I really hope you enjoyed this episode. I've started uploading all current episodes to YouTube, as well as uploading a bunch of the older episodes as I've got time. That's been really interesting because you can easily navigate to certain parts of the podcast, and this is one that I think that's really relevant on. In the show notes, there'll be a link to the YouTube version of the podcast, and you can easily click through on the time codes and go to the part where Kadri Dan talks about the Gorg Heavy Vision. You can quickly go to the Robbie Miller Wad and all the other sections and listen to just the bits and pieces that you want to again. I think that's pretty cool. And it sounds like a couple other people do as well, so just letting everyone know about that. If you enjoyed this episode, again, would really appreciate a review on either Apple Podcasts or our Facebook page. They're all truly appreciated, and they're just a ton of fun to read and receive. Thank you so much for all of the support, and don't forget, attitude is everything, keep yours positive, and drink hard, ruck harder.